And welcome everybody to the world's least influential car sort of.
He's forgotten where it is already.
Welcome everybody to the one of the least influential.
It's one of those things. Yeah,
car pods.
We've established James as one of the least influential, but what the hell is it? That's what I know.
Welcome to Bangers and Classics with me, James Ruppert, and him, David Malloy. And David's been spotting a lot of stuff, apparently.
Yeah, I did. An unusually productive week in that sense. I started off on Drive It Day when I was driving through a nearby town. And there was a procession of cars. It was mostly Minis and Morris 1000s, but there were a number of those, but it was led by a Midas, a white Midas. You don't see many of those about.
No, you don't, no.
Anyway, that started it off. And I was over at a local place seeing about a tow bar for the BMW, and they don't just fit tow bars, it seems they work on classic cars, because in their on their premises there was, James, a 1966 Mustang hardtop, as they call it. We call it a saloon, but they called it the hardtop. And it was, the paintwork and the bodywork looked very good. It was one of the ones with I think it was a straight six engine. It wasn't a V8. Right. But it was being prepped for a local car show a couple of days thereafter. But that wasn't the most unusual thing they had.
No.
A little bit tucked away in the corner, it's awaiting restoration, was a Honda S800 Coupe. So that's quite something. Yeah. It was a white or cream one. Obviously, it's been off the wood for a little while and needs some work done to it, but that's going to happen. And in the other part of the place, I couldn't get a really good look at it. I was a bit pushed for time. There was a red chrome bumper MGB Roadster. So that wasn't bad for a day's work.
No.
But it got better. I was driving a couple of days later down the road, and what went past me but a Jaguar E-Type, a car that we're going to talk about later today. This one was a Roadster. It was on a flatbed trailer, and it looked as if it had been restored to within an inch of its life, I have to say. Why it was being towed is probably to keep the mileage down rather than having broken down. I mean, it wasn't a Triumph Stag after all. Other car spots include a Smart Roadster, the Audi A2 that I've seen quite a bit, and an MG ZT.
Oh, right.
Yep, I saw a couple of Minis yesterday as well. One with a Clubman front and one with the, what you might call the classic front.
Yeah.
There were more cars, I just can't remember all of them. I didn't write them down when I saw them, but that's quite a good haul, I have to say. It's an unusually large haul for me anyway.
Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah, it hasn't been too bad. I saw a TR8 and a traffic light right in front of me, and it said TR8 on the back, and it sounded like a TR8, so it must have been a TR8. So
what colour?
It was black,
right.
and it was a coupe. It wasn't a convertible. So that was quite interesting. I can't remember the last time I saw one of those. So
hang on. There was no TR8 coupe as far as
well,
I recall.
There you go.
Officially, I don't think there was.
You're probably correct.
I think the only ones they built were for the American market, the official ones anyway, and they were all convertibles.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but I don't think there were any coupes. But a lot of work have been converted.
A lot of them have been converted.
In later years. It was a fairly straightforward job when you knew what you were doing, which is probably why I would never have touched something like it. But there you go.
So that was quite interesting. Our friend Mark wanted to tell us he spotted loads of Citroens, which I sent you a picture of. So
you did?
He actually provides photographic evidence. I think there was a DS, a Safari, and a BX, wasn't there?
There was an SM as well. Don't forget
was
the
there
SM.
An SM. Oh, I forgot the SM. So there you go. Yeah. Actually, that's not a bad spot, is it, really?
And there were six. Was there a traction Avon as well in there somewhere?
I think you may be correct. So, yeah, I'll have to ask him a bit more about this. But we're always interested to see what you see, because obviously we see fascinating stuff, but you quite often might even see better stuff than that. So it's always good to see it. I saw on the banger front an Amiga Estate, which, again, is one of those that I haven't seen for a very, very long time. And, you know, if you want a great big banger estate to take loads of stuff, that's always extremely good. But the Oh yes, I did see a whole bunch of supercars who were out on Saturday in the sunshine, obviously going to some sort of event, and there were so many of them I sort of lost count, but they were all coming the other way. But there really was tons and tons of them. A lot of Porsches, the odd Ferrari, but it was it was mainly Porsche, but nothing really classic. It was fairly modern stuff, so I don't think any of that counts. But the best spot of all, David, was actually on Friday when I had to travel somewhere, where I was actually behind and then in front of a Stierpoetsch Haflinger. And this was the best thing I've seen for absolutely ages. It had a flatbed rear, but it was being used, and it was rusty. It was L-plated, so it's a mid-70s example. The bloke driving it looked as though he was falling apart as well. And it made a hell of a racket. It obviously didn't travel too. It was causing a bit of a tailback, and I eventually had to overtake it. But it was a wonderful, wonderful sight, because I cannot remember the last time I saw one, or certainly went around one. But it was marvellous. So that's my spot of the year so far, pretty much.
Mm. I should really go back and add to mine. I forgot to say this was today. I saw a J registration. That's the original J plate. Mm. So that's late 60s. So 69 possibly, is it?
Jay is 71, isn't it?
71. Mm. It's as late as that, I suppose. Yeah. It is, yeah. Now that I think of it. Well, still over 50 years old, Volkswagen Beetle, which looked to be in decent condition, I have to say.
Yeah.
It wasn't moving. It was parked on a side road, and I just happened to drive past it. I thought, a Beetle, as you do.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's that. And we're going to jump into this week's banger or classic. And as already mentioned, it's a Jaguar E-Type, which, of course, was in production for 13, 14 years, James, wasn't it?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, it came out in 61 and went the way of all things in 1975. I was just wondering, what are your thoughts on it? I mean, is it a classic to you, or is it a banger?
Being a Jaguar, there were various times in its life, actually, when it was very much a banger, when you could buy them for not a lot of money. And then what happened was the late 1980s classic car bubble. And they were suddenly worth an awful lot of money for no apparent reason. They're sort of back. I suppose they're a bit more affordable now. But it's a classic because if you look at it in its context, when it was about, it did look like nothing on earth. It really did look fairly exotic when you compared it about what else was on the road. It's only now that it looks a bit odd, I suppose. A lot of people, point out that it's a bit too dainty and a bit odd. Certainly, the fixed head coupe one is a bit strange to look at. But on the whole, I mean, it had its point, and I think, as I pointed out, I did get into trouble once with an ex DJ when I compared his career to an E-Type. You can read all about that in Curb Crawler if you wish. I'm not averse to pointing out its faults, but on the whole, it is a classic. It has to be a classic because of it is part of British motoring culture, really. You may disagree. I don't know.
Well, let's go back to the story about the DJ. Was it Tommy Tupper?
Yeah. Well, it was a version of Tommy Tupper, but no, he took offence, and I suppose quite rightly, but it was okay because I proved my point. And actually, the point was it was pre the internet days. I had to get actual physical evidence, people, to prove my point.
Did DJ not end up with the London cabbie at some point?
I don't know. He wasn't a London cabbie. He was rumoured to have been a bus driver for a bit. But no,
right, yeah. If you're wondering who Tommy Tupper is, listeners, it's Benny Hill. Just type in Benny Hill, Tommy Tupper, and you can watch the sketch. And from that, if you read James's book, Curb Crawl, it'll tell you who the sketch is based on and why it's actually pretty good. But yes, the chat we're talking about, the DJ, James, without naming him, he's passed away now. But,
absolutely.
Yeah, but he did have a very stellar career. He was a Roman candle. He burned very bright and then basically just fizzled out, unfortunately for him. That's really what happened to him. However, the E-Type, well, I've got some problems with the E-Type, James. I've never really liked the E-Type. It's got an advanced specification for its day. Can't deny that. It had all sorts of things like disc brakes, rack and pinion steering, a unitary construction, and so on and so forth. It actually was quite an advanced car. But it didn't half look ugly. The styling is just wrong. The driver sits in a different postcode from the front wheels. It just doesn't look right. Now, I have to say, I have owned an E-Type at one stage, James. I did own an E-Type, yeah. When I was about five, I had a Jaguar E-Type pedal car.
All right.
And there's photographic proof of this somewhere, which will never be seen online. I might send you a copy of it if I find it. I'm pretty sure I know where it is. It just didn't really appeal to me. The people it did seem to appeal to included, I have a list here, middle-aged would be Lotharios, Americans from the 1980s who loved wearing slacks and also had mullets and moustaches, chaps who wear flat caps and string-back driving gloves, and long-haul airline pilots predominantly called Nigel. It doesn't mean everybody who drove an E-Type was like that, but there was quite a good proportion of them, which I didn't think did anything for the reputation of the car. I also think it went on too long. It looked dated by the time the 70s came around. And it went on for a further few years. Obviously, they gave it the V12 engine to keep it competitive at that stage. I just don't see the fascination with it. I'm sorry. So, to me, interesting specification. Yes, it was a very important car for Britain to produce. There's absolutely no doubt about that. But I just don't like it. So, I'm going to have to call it a banger. It's a purely subjective opinion here. I should be objective and call it a classic. But for once, I'm just going to say, no, to me, it's a banger. Very expensive banger.
Well, that's right. The Jaguar Enthusiast Club are not at all happy, David. I mean, they're paging me right now. I think it's all going to kick off.
Oh, again, that's okay then. Yeah. It's not a problem. No. They'll soon come to their senses. So we're a split decision on this. Objectively, I suppose you'd have to say it's a classic, but subjectively, just for the heck of it, just because I can, I'm going to say it's a banger. Any final comment on that, James?
No, you're entitled to your opinion, David, however wrong-headed, stupid and ridiculous it may be.
Well, none of the above, so obviously it's right, you know. That's it. I'm glad you pointed that out, James, you know, just to help listeners understand that. Anyway, we'll move on, shall we?
Yeah.
And we had, well, actually, he says, making his mind up here, we'll do this week's challenge.
Oh, right.
Okay. Yes, we have a challenge. And what was the challenge again? He tries to remind himself.
Challenge, David.
It was. Well, challenge is to find an MPV with either six cylinders or seven seats or more or both. It has to be roadworthy. It has to be for sale. There are no other rules. It can be any price you want. And I think I've got a good one. I went a little bit away from the herd here with this one, which you're going to say you do that every blooming week because you've been championing Morris Marinas and Talbot's Solaris in recent weeks. So I went for a Toyota Previa.
All right.
But that's a 1994 one. It's registered as a Lucida.
Yeah.
It's right-hand drive. I suspect, obviously, I'm expecting it's an import.
Yeah, it will be.
It's an M plate. It's a diesel. It's in blue. There's only one photograph. It's had a respray at some time. But it looks good in the photograph. It's got more up-to-date alloy wheels on it, which actually looks pretty good with. There's absolutely nothing of concern in the MOT record. It's the usual sort of minor things, you know, brake pipes and, you know, tyres, etc. Nothing drastic at all. It said it's done 150,000. Now, it says kilometres. I'm not sure if that's right or if it's meant to be, if it's miles, but it's done 150,000 of some unit of measurement anyway. Obviously, I appreciate there's a big difference between 150,000 miles and 150,000 kilometres, but there you have it. You can always ask the seller. Something a little bit different, obviously. It's got Toyota running gear, James, so it should go on for a long time.
Oh, they do, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe, doesn't the Prime Minister have one?
Does he?
Yeah, I thought he did. But they go on forever. They're mini cabs.
Really. He's got he'll have a Prius or something, surely.
Well, I think he had a Previa, but
really,
I could be. Yeah, I think so. I think if you look into it.
But, oh dear, I'm not sure. Maybe I have to recant my choice now. It could be his car that's for sale. For goodness sake,
it could be, couldn't it? Absolutely.
Yeah, it's for sale in Car and Classic for £3,495 of your British pounds. I would like to see more photographs, obviously, but certainly worth a look. I was in Previa, driven by a former member of Parliament once. has now passed away. I can't say the circumstances, etc. And I won't, certainly won't name him. But he used to come in the morning to whatever the thing we were doing, we were working on. And he obviously ate his breakfast in a hurry because he'd have spatters of fried egg, etc. stuck to his tie and often to his spectacles as well. He was a very pleasant chap, though, a really pleasant chap. But he gave me a lift once. And much as I was grateful for the lift and grateful for his kindness, I thought, no, I'll just walk next time. It was probably safer. The Jaguar Enthusiast Club, I imagine, would probably rather I had taken the second lift from him, given what I've just said, but never mind. Anyway, so that's mine, James. What do you have?
Well, David, I absolutely loathe people carriers. It's the devil's work, really. Effectively,
they freedom of choice, James. You were saying a while ago.
Well, not when it comes to people carriers, David. massive exception in they should all be driven into the ground and destroyed. I've had lots of multi-seat vehicles over the years, and actually they have come in handy and have used all the multiple seats, and that's more than five seats. There are quite a few cars over the years, but none of them have been what you would call a people carrier, because they're terrible vehicles. So instead, what I've gone for is a 1994 Defender, and it's a 12 seat. I think that would, that's more people than you would ever need to carry, really. But it's just the fact that it's a lovely old Defender. You can find them because of your bizarre rules for this challenge, David, with big engines. I mean, this one has just got a normal diesel, but it is possible to find some of those specced up V8 ones, which have 9 or 12 seats, but they're not cheap. We've had a 6.2 V8 one, a 2016 one, which was $99,995. But don't worry, you don't have to go for that, because the 1994 Defender that I found for you will carry 11 other people as you drive around is $23,995, a snip at the price. And it looks like a Defender rather than a van with windows.
Anyway, that's that. So, as ever, we've disagreed on Banger and Classic.
Have we?
We do, yeah. You think the E-Type's the best thing since sliced marmalade. Mm. And
I don't think I said that, David, but yeah.
Well, I'm just paraphrasing, James. Yeah, just paraphrasing.
Taking out of context there.
Me? No, I would never do that. You know? I'd never misquote anyone. You know, I'd admit to it anyway. No, I don't do that sort of thing. I'm Mr. Clean the Marine, that's me. Shall we move on to this week's Danger Mobile? And this week's Danger Mobile is the Citroën ZX. Kind of an ugly duckling, James, that was launched in 1991. And I have to say, full disclosure, etc., I had one of these. Back in the 90s, it wasn't a brand new one. It would be a few years old, but I did have a ZX, the engine of which expired one day on the M58, much to the amusement of some guys in a van. The car did live, it got a replacement engine, and lived on for a bit at least anyway. It was a very popular car in its time, James. I believe this Citroën sold about 138,000 of them in the UK.
Mm.
Looking at the DVLA records, that was certainly the peak number on UK roads.
Yeah.
And now there are 571.
Goodness me.
571 on the road with 1,965 on SORN. Numbers are falling gradually. Now, the ZX shared the same platform as the Peugeot 306, James. You'd know that, of course.
Oh, yeah.
But its somewhat angular styling was perhaps less well regarded and perhaps certainly less well resolved than that of the 306's grown up 205 look. But having said that, the ZX does look distinctive. It's certainly got that going for it. It looked a bit ungainly at the time. It still looks a little bit ungainly now, but you wouldn't mistake it for anything else, I don't think.
No, you wouldn't. No, I did end up buying one for a car magazine. I bought one for Car Week at an auction.
Right.
I can't remember how much I paid for it, but that was a car that was used by a photographer. I don't know whether he was pleased about that, but I found them sort of pretty decent workhorses. I actually don't have to go very far to see some abandoned ones at my local garage. They used to be loan cars, and I think they've given up loaning the cars out, so they just sit there, which is quite sad, really. I might have to see if I can buy one for 50p and put the Bangers and Classics logo on it or something. But I always found them pretty good, you know, certainly the basic diesel ones, you know, should last pretty much forever. And you can probably put anything in them and it'll just burn.
You reckon it was, I had a diesel one, the engine blew on, James.
Well, there you go, David.
It was a diesel.
Yeah, who knows why that occurred, David. I mean, there's lots of factors involved. But the ones local to me, they've done hundreds of thousands of miles. And I wouldn't mind one as a really, you know, basic fallback position car. So, I've probably been inspired now to go and have a word with my local garage to see if I can tidy one up.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was a car with something of a sporting pedigree. There was obviously a car based on it when they parried a car rally four times, won a couple of European Rallycross championships. Yeah. Obviously, these are nothing like the actual showroom car, but doesn't matter. They still bore the name. It had some interesting features. It was one of the last truly idiosyncratic Citroëns, I think. You had passive rear steering, which was built in, I think, via the rear suspension geometry. And you had a sliding rear seat, so you could move the rear seat forwards and backwards, which was a clever idea. And again, you had a large range of engines. You're ranging from 1.1 litre petrol, which you couldn't get in the UK, I believe, to the 1.9 litre turbo diesel, either 1.9 litre normally aspirated diesel, which I'll mention for the umpteenth time, let me down badly. Get you a choice of a 3 or a 5-door hatch and a 5-door estate, and there were a number of trim levels, and there was even a sort of sporty or sportyish Volcan model, which I believe Gavin Braithwaite Smith, who gets mentioned in the podcast from time to time, I believe Gavin has one or certainly had one. They drove pretty well, I would say. Mine, though, it wasn't any great shakes in terms of performance, handled well and was very comfortable, and certainly crunched long distances very, very well. There's lots of reasons to like these cars. You know, they are distinctive, a little bit idiosyncratic. They're comfortable. They are good to drive. And they're still pretty cheap, I reckon. And long may that continue. And hopefully they continue to be seen on the roads for a while. But I say that, James, of course, I've not seen one for years.
No.
I can't remember the last time I've seen one. So I don't know if these, the 571 examples still on the road are, because I do not know.
Yeah, well, there's three of them near me anyway, but they're off-road, actually.
Yeah, well, they don't count then. No, they don't count. They don't count. I parted with mine, I'm trying to remember when it was, be about 2000, 1999 or 2000. And I've seen very few of them since then. Even back then, they were getting a little bit thinner in the ground. I would certainly recommend you buy one.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I think you would too, James.
Yeah, I will do.
Yeah, we actually agreed something.
Well, we agree on an awful lot, I think, David.
But, not really, no. We've got to keep this going, James, that we don't agree. It's much more fun.
No, well, yeah, I'm off to go and tip some people carriers off a cliff. That's what I'm going to do for the rest of today.
Are you going to let the tyres down first?
No.
No?
No.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, well, I won't be doing that. I'll be behaving myself, and basically I'll be going back into hiding in case the Jaguar Enthusiast Club come after me. I'm sure they'll forget it soon enough.
Yeah.
And on that note, we'll say thank you for listening. I hope you tune in next time. Cheerio.
Yeah, thanks for turning up.